On this episode of Snail Trail 4x4, Tyler and Jimmy record a little bit later in the day, and holes are discussed. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course hearing about how awesome Christmas tree air fresheners are, then this is the podcast for you. I'm your host today, Tyler, and joining me here in our lovely studio with our nice snail trail emblem up behind us, as you guys can see, is the one and only Jimmy Hydrojet, Mr. Hydro, Mr. Jet. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been an adventurous day, that's for sure.
It has been a very adventurous day. I think we talked about this. We had a productive day as well. Are we going to give away the secret of how we're recording?
No.
So yeah, it's been a very interesting day today, and I have to admit, hanging out with you more and more days is becoming interesting. I don't know if it's becoming a good thing or a bad thing. I haven't decided yet.
Thank you.
So yeah. Yep. You should be very thankful to them that I'm gracing you with my presence for today.
No. Yes. Thrilled. So,
yes, thrilled. Yay. Woohoo. Anyways. So, because you guys are, if you are watching this in YouTube land, that means today is a what?
Monday.
Today is a Monday that you guys are getting to watch us. So, that means today you guys get to see us on not one camera, not two cameras, but three cameras, as well as out in podcasting land for our campfire discussion for this week.
Yes.
So,
which is a continuation.
Continuation, because even though we split up episodes, we still can't talk within the time frame we want to talk within. Anyways, so what are you pointing? Was that pointing at me?
I bet you.
I'm trying to watch the cameras here, and you're pointing at me behind my back.
Well, you flick boogers at me when I'm talking.
That's true, I do.
But I would love
you.
I'm not going to do it, but if somebody out there in this world wants to do this, find an episode, cut out how much time Tyler talks and how much time I talk in the podcast.
Oh, God.
And
no.
And let's see let's get a percentage.
Nobody has time to do this, Jimmy. Oh my God.
I bet
God.
You if I recorded a podcast, it'd be like 15 minutes long.
I'm not talking anymore for the rest of this episode. I don't like
this. Ooh, I think that was 5 seconds.
Oh man, that was hard. That was difficult. Oh shit. No, yeah, I definitely it's my problem. I talk too much and I like talking and I you know, one of our old buddies says that he can talk to a wall. That's one of his special talents for hours on end. And sadly, I think I can do the same thing.
You've got such a nice texture.
I know. You feel nice and bubbly. Whoever did your stucco did a really good job. Anyways, so we are here back recording an off-roading podcast and video here for all of our listeners, all of our audience out there. Continuation of our last episode, which was episode 18, and I talked all about how... there I go again. I talked all about how we discussed... We... okay. Anyways.
Should we thank our patrons first?
Yes. That's a good idea. Please take it away.
You know what's funny is between the secretary, Tyler, and I, we have had a bottle of wine, and only one of us is feeling giddy.
The secretary?
Pretty much.
No, it's usually whenever I have a bottle of wine, it's the secretary has like one, maybe one and a half glasses, mm-hmm. and I have the rest of the bottle.
Yeah.
So
I'm glad I could help you out today.
Yeah, I have some water today. Jimmy mm-hmm. helped me out with the rest of the bottle of wine, but we are slightly detoxing with some water.
Yeah.
Let's and throw it the, right over here next to the audio equipment. That's a great spot for it here.
And in the meantime, we want to thank all of our patrons out there. Thank you so much for the support. Thank you for giving your well, hard-earned cash and sending it our way so that we can continue to bring excellent to your earbuds or your eyeballs and give things back
into
to
your
you.
Ear holes and eye holes.
There you go. Those work too. And hopefully one of these days we can provide you with a present if you're on that $10 tier where this month we are giving away a Exploration. See, this is why he does these. This is why he does the whole section. Exploration Advanced First Aid Kit.
Ta-da!
Did I get it right? The fourth time later.
Yeah. Take five. Yeah. Do it over.
So if you want to get in or entered for the first aid kit, then you need to get signed up before the end of this month. The first aid kit does value about $150, and you have a chance to win it for $10.
I'm impressed. You did that without a script, without any...
I've heard you say it for all month.
I have to use a script every time to say it, pretty much. So really cool.
Wait, when's this video? When's this one coming out?
Holy crap! This video is coming out Monday, August 26th is when this video and podcast is airing into everybody's ear holes and eye holes.
Next, the podcast following, we're going to announce what next month's is.
Correct.
For the giveaway.
So that'll be on August 29th?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So August 29th, we'll get that around and you guys will get to hear.
And then the next week, we announce the winner.
Yep. And that is September 2nd. No, we can't do it.
We
can't do it on September. It'll be September 5th.
Yep.
When we announce the winner of the Exploration Ready Advanced First Aid Kit.
Really, what it comes down to is we need to make sure your payments come through on the Patreon account.
And make sure none of you guys drop your payments on August 31st. So, so that's coming through. We have the gift boxes coming up.
Yeah.
So we have one more month to gather a lot of extra goodies for the goodie box, and
we don't have that much more to go.
We don't. That is true. We're almost have everything together that we wanted. We kind of had this itemized list of stuff we wanted to put together.
I wrote a solid page.
Yes.
One wrote an item enter all the way down of things that could possibly go into this gift box.
Yes, he did.
And they range from like really, really crazy ideas that cost money to like coasters.
Like he wanted to give each and every person out there a Lamborghini. And I was like, I don't think the budget has that much budget to
Hot
give out
Wheels.
Lamborghinis. Oh, that you didn't put that on there.
No, and our TV just went black.
Oh, here, let's. I thought I set that to not have a
timer.
Not have a timer on it. Pause. Technical difficulties. There we go. Why are we going black?
We're gonna have to do that every 10 minutes.
Alrighty, we'll just kind of move this around. I'll hold on to it and play with it every once in a while, make noises. It'll be fantastic. So our gift boxes are going out. We have some really cool items for it. We're not going to tell you guys what they are. We will announce it after we ship the boxes out to you guys, and hopefully before, as you guys are starting to receive some of them, is when we will announce and let everybody else know what they are missing out there. Because if you have not signed up for the gift box yet, you're too late.
Yes.
No more. No soup for you.
If somebody does sign up, I wonder if I can...
We're recording, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. We are. I just had a really scary, anxiety-driven moment right there for a second.
If somebody does sign up, I think we can demote them to the $10 level.
Oh, okay. So we can just drop them back down before they get charged? Okay.
Yeah.
So what we'll do is...
We'll contact you and say, hey, you're either going to have to wait another extra month, just like 7 months before you get your gift box, because we wanted to make sure that, you know, there was enough money in the bank so we could get the right stuff for the people out there.
Yeah, these gift boxes are becoming, I mean, we're looking into it more and more as we're actually enacting them, and there's a lot that goes into the timing of getting these gift boxes out and making them cost efficient so that, like you said, there's enough money in the bank account. in order to put together these gift boxes for you, because we're trying to make sure that the value of every single box is at least $100. Mm-hmm. And we have roughly $60 per box to work with to make $100.
Right.
So we're making money for you guys. We're making money. We're pulling money off the money tree and making money appear for you guys. So, right.
And so if you sign up next month or this month to try to get into the gift box,
no, not happening.
Then that means you're donating $10 and trying to get a $100 value.
Yeah.
And that doesn't work on our end.
Yeah, we just can't. We can make money. We can make money appear for you guys. We can't make that much money appear for you guys. So the gift boxes will be coming out. We're kind of excited about it. It's turning into, like we talked about last episode, funner. Is that proper?
Funnest
project. Funnest project that we're working on. So, that's going along just fine. And you guys should be getting those beginning to middle of October.
Mm-hmm.
So, watch for those to come into your mailboxes. And also, please watch your emails.
Your mail holes.
Your mail holes. So, we should not podcast late at night. Those are going to come into your mail holes. And please watch your email holes. In case we're going to get a hold of you to get any information, like shipping information or other stuff to customize some of the items in there for, in particularly, you yourself. So, watch your email holes for information. I'm trying to talk here. Can you stop doing this? Hey. Listen here, buddy.
Sorry. Still learning to drink water.
Jimmy's dying. He doesn't know how to put the water down the water hole versus not the air hole. So, a lot of holes on this episode.
An a-hole.
Anyway,
I'll be a b-hole.
So we're doing an off-roading podcast here, right? we're doing a holy podcast.
Yeah,
holy off-roading podcast. That works. Anyways,
do you know how to make holy water?
No.
You boil the hell out of it.
Anyways. So, back to off-roading here. So, this is kind of the continuation. Today's campfire discussion, this week's campfire discussion, is a continuation of the Forerunner saga that's been going on. So, if you listen to the last episode, episode 18, you got to hear all about how I almost killed a AAA guy, a AAA driver. I almost killed my HOA lady, and I was very disappointed in, I yelled at AAA dispatch, and I was very disappointed in the Sac County Sheriff and their unwillingness to help with the situation. So, I did get the rig back. Got the Forerunner
all
back.
All in all. Yes.
All in all. It's missing a lot of gear from the inside of the Forerunner. Which brings us to an interesting situation, decision that I get to make here moving forward with the Forerunner. And so I tried talking with Jimmy about this just because I wanted to run it by him and see what he had to say, because he's a very knowledgeable guy, very knowledgeable with installs and how much time and money it takes to build a rig and or redo a rig or do whatever to a vehicle. And so I wanted ask him, you know, what some of my options were and what I was thinking of. And he said,
wait till the podcast.
He's making me wait.
But here we are.
5 days to talk about all these things that are running through my head. And what I'm really not good at is waiting when I have ideas rolling around in here.
But how many more ideas came to you during that time?
None. All my ideas come to me at one time. And then they slowly go away and I lose them.
So, some of them stuck around?
Some of them stuck around, yes.
Well, those are probably the good ones.
Those are the good ones.
Okay.
I had a couple really bad ones that did not stick around. And we won't mention those because they involve Jeeps.
But you will in the next episode.
That's right. Forgot about that. Episode 20 has one of my ideas that we talked about for episode 20 coming up here. So, anyways, this episode, episode 19, is all about moving forward with a rig. So, I'm in an interesting situation, and I don't know if there's other people out there. I'm sure if you go and buy a rock crawler, buy an off-roading rig, and you now want to turn it into your rig rather than somebody else's rig, how do you go forward and move forward with doing that? Or say you roll over a rig while you're off-roading, and now you need to fix it up or come to a crossroads in your off-roading career where you have a bulletproof drivetrain, axle, suspension, tires, wheels, pretty much everything from the chassis to the ground is all good and beautiful, good to go. But everything from the chassis up is very bare bones, and you don't mm-hmm. know what to do with it. So this episode's for you guys, and hopefully for me, because I don't know what I'm going to do yet. So I have a couple different options. So right now the situation of the 4Runner is that, like I said, I have an awesome drivetrain. So I have a 22RE engine with a Stage 2 cam in it. Just had the heads remachined, the new head gasket. I've got new injectors in there. The air intake plenum, all the gaskets have been redone. I have a new exhaust on there within the past year. Mm-hmm. I have, let's see, what else? I have a new battery in there now, new vacuum hoses. I just went through all the electrical wiring, and it's all set to go now. So everything should be done. Everything mm-hmm. should be good to go from the engine side of things. And the 22RE is an amazing, even though it's really gutless on the freeway, doesn't have any power to get you up the Highway 80 and Highway 50 grades that we have here in NorCal to get to all the off-roading trails. Once I'm on the trail, it's a beautiful, beautiful engine, and I don't need any more power once I'm on the trail.
Right.
Because downstream from my engine, I have the R151F transmission.
What's that come off of?
It comes off of the diesel imports for the Toyotas. It also came mated to the turbo, the 22RE turbo,
mm-hmm.
and it came mated to the 3.4 engine, the 5E ZFE, the six-cylinder.
And what's the benefit of that transmission over the W56 that a lot of people talk about?
So the W56 is kind of that common four-cylinder transmission that came in all the mini trucks, the Toyota mini trucks, the first-gen 4Runners originally, the second-gen 4Runners if it had the 22RE in it, the W56... Famous transmission. Nothing wrong with it. Great transmission. Mm-hmm. But the R151 has much thicker gears, so that the gears and the machining of it is a much beefier parts.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the either the input or output shafts or both are beefier than the W56.
Yeah, they have the 23 splines.
23 splines on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lower first and second gear
yep.
than the W56. So the W56 first gear is like 3.7, 3.8?
Yeah, it's about around there.
Somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. The R151F is a 4.3 first gear. And then the second gear is 3.7, 3.8, somewhere right around there.
Wow.
So my second gear is the same as a W56 first gear.
Dang.
Okay. And it's a beefier transmission. It's designed to take a lot more torque and horsepower from the turbo engine, the 3.4 V6 engine, and that import diesel engine that we can't get in the United States here. So it's just a really nice, beefy transmission.
Yes.
Remember that it can mate and bolt directly up to a 3.4 engine. That's going to come in a little bit here.
Yeah.
So downstream of that, I have a 2.28. Front case. So there's a gear reduction, 2.28 Toyota gear reduction there in the front case.
And that's the stock gear ratio for...
That's your stock Toyota gear ratio for the transfer case,
yeah,
typically.
For ours.
But it has that's a front case. So I have dual cases.
Yes.
The front case is the 2.28. The rear case is a 4.7 Marlin gear reduction, that rear case. And then downstream of that, I have, you know, my output shaft that goes up to the front axle. That has a chromoly. I have the chromoly output shaft on the T case there and a chromoly output shaft on the rear axle okay. as well. And on the front, I have a double cardan down to the front drive shaft. And the front diff is a high pinion out of a third out of an FJ80, 8-inch high pinion third. And I have ARBs there, chromoly long fields on the shafts itself. The axle itself has everything that can be done to beef up a Toyota axle. So there's a hydro assist, high steer, a truss on the top. There's ball gussets, and it's all set up for leaf springs. And so on the outside of that, I have the Marlin steering arms, the steering arms that go on top of the knuckles that are super beefy as well. They have a fifth bolt down the middle to help keep everything. It's just a really beefy arm too to handle the hydro assist. So the front axle, that's what's going on the front. The rear is an IFS width rear axle, and it's got 529s in it as well as an ARB, 8-inch chromoly axle shafts, out to the flanges, and a disc brake conversion on the rear as well. And I also have the pinion brake on the T-case, on the transfer case for a parking brake. So from
double cardan on the rear drive shaft?
I don't think I do, actually. No? I do not have a double cardan on the rear. So that'll be something, because it's a lower, it's a low pinion. I think I want to get a double card, and it would make more sense to have a double card in there rather than the front, but whatever, it is what it is. So that's kind of the setup I have right now. And then, above the chassis, I have, a cab and a couple of seats and that's about it. So I have, I've got windows, the hard camper top on it.
Well, it's an 85 4Runner body.
85 4Runner body.
Which is nostalgic. You have fiberglass fenders.
Fiberglass fenders on the front.
What's great about those is that they do have the removable hard top. You do have the hard top.
I do have the hard top still, yep.
Rear window works.
Rear window works from both the keyhole and the and the switch inside, yes.
Body's in fairly decent straight shape.
Pretty decent shape. There's some bending and dents around the rear fenders, but otherwise...
It's typical.
It's typical of the 4Runners. Yeah. We have a big booty.
Yes.
I have a big dent in the passenger door where I ran into the gate on Barrett Lake. But otherwise, the body's in pretty decent condition. So that's kind of what the 4Runner's sitting at right now.
But on the inside, you have a little bit of carpet, two seats, a lot of electrical missing, but mechanically works.
Mechanically, it all works. The engine, the drivetrain, it all works still beautifully, as far as I can tell. So it's a great rock crawling base platform to kind of turn the interior of it into however I want to set it up again. So here's my thing. My insurance is looking like they're going to be very on top of taking care of me. I'll have a $1,000 deductible, and I'll have to figure out, I'm gonna take a little bit of a hit there, but otherwise I'll be able to get everything back recouped, right?
Hopefully.
So hopefully, theoretically, the adjusters have to go through and value everything at fair market value, and I'll use all that stuff. So, but I should theoretically, hopefully be able to get at least a huge chunk of stuff back.
Right.
So my question for you and for all the listeners out there is, do I keep the first gen 4Runner and rebuild the interior? So I got to redo, put a new stereo in it. I would do new ham radio setups, and I would do my ham radio setups a little bit differently. I would redo all the interior while it's all there. I'm going to put new seat. I would put new seats in it. Let's see. I would redo all the interior paneling. It's going to become a big project if I keep it, essentially.
Yeah.
I'm going to gut the whole thing out since it's already pretty much gutted. I just have a little bit further to go and redo, kind of almost restore the whole interior.
Right.
So do I go that route and do that? And kind of be down from the wheeling scene for a few months and not be, maybe skip the winter wheeling session. I don't know if I can, though, because I love snow wheeling. You just gave me a really weird, confused look there.
My understanding of you and wheeling is you would rather snow wheel than any other season.
That is true. I love
my snow
wheeling.
It's the complete opposite of me, where I use the winter season to rip apart my rig and fix it and build it and make it better.
Yeah. And there are a couple of trips I want to do, you know, Barrett Lake, Deer Valley, Slick Rock. I want to see if I can get to Niagara Rim this year, maybe do a trip down to Swamp Lake this year before everything shuts down again for the winter time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if I do all that, you know, I don't have the rig set up for camping. I don't have the rig set up for with any kind of recovery gear. I don't have my winch on there. And it's just kind of a bare bones platform.
Right.
So it'll get down there. It'll wheel just fine, but I don't have the amenities to make wheeling nice, I guess.
Comfortable.
Comfortable. Sure. Yeah. Comfortable is a good word. So I'm kind of at a crossroads where I have some decisions to make. And, you know, I've kind of joked around. I don't know if I've teased around on the podcast about wanting to get a third gen 4Runner. And I've talked with you about it personally. I don't know if we've talked about it on the podcast.
I think we've talked about you wanting four doors.
I definitely want four doors. Uh-huh. I think having four doors would be nice.
The second gen body.
I do like the second gen body a little bit better than the third gen. Mm-hmm. I think you can get more ground clearance with the second gen versus the third gen.
But the engine in the third gen.
The engine is the third gen is far, far superior from the engine in the second gen, that 3.0.
And even the four-cylinder in the third gen is far superior.
The 3RZ?
Yeah.
That 3RZ engine's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I was looking at it the other day, So here's my thoughts.
I'm ready. Are all of them coming out at once, or are you going to like break them into pieces?
We may break them into pieces. We'll try and break them into pieces all here. Right. So first one is I've kind of been toying around with building a ham radio mobile repeater trailer. Something simple that I can put a little cabinet on the front, house a repeater and some batteries and solar panels in, and then something, just a nice platform on the back that I can put a mast on so I can have a mobile repeater communications for trail maintenance days, for off-roading events, for other kind of stuff that I can tow behind a rig.
Would the mast go in the mast hole?
Yes. The mast would go in the mast hole. And so the... Sorry. The mast is going to go in the mast hole, Jimmy. That's where masts go. So...
Good to know.
I'm completely lost. Where was I going with that?
You want to build a mobile repeater trailer.
Okay. So having a repeater trailer would be nice. The secretary has said that she would like to do more camping if there was an easier way to set up camp or more comfortable way to get to and from the trails than the 4Runner.
Okay.
She doesn't mind short stints in the 4Runner, but she doesn't want to do multiple camping days in the 4Runner.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's just not comfortable enough. It's you know, I built it for rock crawling day trips, maybe overnight trips kind of thing, but multi-day trips are really not its forte.
Right.
So because my drivetrain from the transmission down to the ground can bolt pretty much right into that 3.4 engine, do I get a third gen 4Runner and pull, just get, you know, the third gen 4Runner, you can find a two-wheel drive third gen right now for like $2,000 to $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I could take that and cut out everything underneath it, the transmission, the T-case, the suspension, the axles, and just take everything, cut everything off of my 4Runner, the first gen, and throw it all into the third gen.
Yeah.
And have an awesome third gen. It would still be on leaf springs. For the time being, until I can save up enough to do four links and coils. But that's one option. I would get my four doors.
Yep.
I would have power doors and windows so that I can set up an alarm system easier rather than retrofitting We'll get back to that. So I can set up an alarm system easier.
Okay.
It'll be a little bit more comfortable. I won't have to worry about overheating issues, most likely. I won't have to, I'll most likely have AC, working AC that works very good. The first gen 4Runners, the AC works great, but when it overheats, I can't run the AC. I do need to put a new blower motor in there if I want it to blow stronger right now. I'll have the rear cargo area, rear seats. So if there's a little Tyler in the future, there'll be a spot for the little Tyler to ride.
Yep.
On camping trips. There's a spot for the dog to ride on camping trips. My only issue with that is that it's going to be a much heavier rig, and it's going to require a lot of downtime to swap everything over to the third gen.
Yes.
So that's my first option. Second option is a first gen Tacoma. I love pickup trucks for off-roading. I love Bobcat. Bobcat is an awesome build platform. The main reasons why I like them so much is because you can build them tall, and they still maintain a low center of gravity because they just don't have a lot of weight up high at all. Everything's super low because they don't have an SUV body. They don't have a camper shell usually on them. So you can get your tall ground clearance, but still have a lower center of gravity on everything.
Okay.
So I love that about the pickups, and I wouldn't mind having the 3.4 engine. I don't think I want to go any bigger than the 3.4 V6 in a future build because I think that's just getting to too much power, especially if I haven't run dual cases. I'd have that 3.4 engine. I'd have the pickup build that I can build tall but still be very stable. And I'll have my four doors if I get the dual cab.
Okay.
My only issue with that then is that then I have to start weatherproofing all of my gear again to carry in the bed of the truck for snow wheeling.
Yeah.
For springtime wheeling in the rain.
Okay.
I used to I've mentioned lots of times on the podcast before, I had a 2007 Tacoma dual cab long bed. And it was awesome. I loved that truck, but I got tired of trying to weatherproof stuff and making sure it's weatherproofed for trips.
Okay.
Because it all sits in the bed of the truck.
Sure. That's understandable.
So
it's something I deal with.
Yep.
Yep.
And so the pickup, the Tacoma, the first gen Tacoma, if I built it and put my drivetrain, everything under it, would be an awesome platform for off-roading. I think it'd be better than the third gen, but I think functionally, for multi-day camping trips and an overall vehicle, the third gen would be a better match.
Third gen 4Runner.
The third gen 4Runner, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's my two options if I wanted to look at swapping everything into a third gen or a first gen Tacoma. Or I could just keep the 4Runner the way it is, sell it. You know, I think going market value for everything that's done to it, but being bare bones inside, would be about $7,000 to $9,000.
Okay.
So I can sell that and get a third gen 4Runner, first gen Tacoma, and build it up as much as I can using the money from selling the first gen 4Runner. I don't think I would get enough out of the first gen 4Runner to completely build the rigs the way I want it to. Which is why I'm leaning more towards just taking everything out from under my first gen, throwing it under one of those two vehicles.
Yeah. It's a good question. It's a good debate.
Yes.
If any of the viewers or listeners out there have any comments, write us, Jimmy or Tyler, snailtrail4x4.com, or put a comment down below in the video. We would love to hear your guys' feedback on this.
Yep.
There is another option you haven't said yet, unless you have another one.
I do have another one.
Okay.
The other option is just to keep the first gen 4Runner.
Okay.
And rebuild and redo everything, all the interior, rebuild the interior of the vehicle the way I really want it to. Now that I've had it for 2.5 years and I did it one way, and I know I liked the functionality, like everything worked the way I wanted it to, but it wasn't quite as comfy as I wanted. Things weren't quite in place where I wanted them to be.
Okay.
So I would be able to now take that, what I've learned from doing it once, and really do it the way I would really want it to now that I've had a chance to use it and do stuff. So that would be my other, that's my last option, is just to keep it and take the insurance payout and get all new gear and just rebuild all the interior. Going. Just start going on it. Yeah.
What about buying a like salvaged third gen 4Runner and putting the body onto yours?
Put the body onto the first gen 4Runner chassis and everything? Yep. I mean, would that be would that be easier than swapping everything in underneath the third gen?
Well, the difference there is, well, no, but you do, if you did, if you didn't, like, if you got one that, like, somebody out there on Craigslist is selling one without a motor,
like a second gen body,
a second gen without the motor, and you know, it's $500, then you just have a body and you're going to do a body swap.
True.
Right? And you're going to stick with your 22RE and you're going to stick with every, you know, your entire drivetrain, which you were going to stick with anyway. Right? And then it's just a cab swap, which is and does take some time and does work, you know, because you're ripping everything off the side of the inner fenders and everything through the firewall and all this stuff. Yeah. It's not an easy job. And heck, I don't even know if the body mounts match. Right?
Good question, too. I haven't looked at that.
And, but that could be a cheaper alternative to get the body you want, but then you're still going to have the drivetrain that you currently have.
Yeah. Yeah, and the 22RE. So I'm wondering then at that point, after I get all that done, do I keep the 22RE or do I swap in a 3.4 or do I swap in a 3RZ?
Well,
or do I talk to Cummins and get an R2.8?
Are those legal?
I don't think they're legal in California, unfortunately.
I think there's gray area on that one, but you might be able to get it in there.
If anybody from Cummins is listening, I'd love to talk to you guys on the phone about what your plans are and how to get an R2.8 smog legal here in California. So
yeah, it's just you have to have a vehicle older than 1975.
Oh, sorry, I'm playing to the cameras. The fun side note: they're talking about bumping up the 1975 rule to 1983. For smog. It doesn't help me at all because I have a 1985, but...
You know, I wouldn't hold my breath.
I wouldn't hold my breath either.
I've heard so many times that they're going to move things up. Uh-huh. It's going to change, and that never happens.
Yeah. True.
That would be awesome because I really, really want a 1981 Toyota pickup.
The first gen pickups?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then if that's not smog legal...
Yeah. I could see the gears spinning in your eye holes already.
Yes. It would happen. It would happen ASAP.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about the Toyota Stout. It's a 1967 truck.
Yeah. It's way before smog legal stuff. I mean, that's one of the allures of the FJ40s.
Yeah, definitely.
Is that you can do whatever you want to.
Get you an FJ40 body.
I thought about it, and I was like, that would be awesome, but an FJ62. I don't like short wheelbases.
FJ60?
62 or 60 would be awesome.
With a 22RE in it?
No. Those are too heavy for a 22RE.
Yeah.
I'll take some FJ60 axles, though.
Oh, heck yeah.
The 9.5-inch Land Cruiser axles, those are sweet.
So, well, I think you kind of already have your mind made up.
Do I?
I think you do.
Do I? What do you think? I'm not opposed to keeping the 4Runner. The only thing about the first gen 4Runner that I'm not happy with right now is the overheating issue, which should not be happening. So I've got something else still going on with my cooling system, and so I'm gonna pressure chemical
flush
the coolant system. See what that does. I think I might have a clog somewhere. And the lack of four doors.
Yep.
However, if I can get a place to store my hard top and run a soft top on it, then I would be okay with not having four doors because then I have easy access to that area there in what would normally be the back seat area, which I don't have back seats.
Right.
I love the lightweight build of the 4Runner. I love that about it.
Can we cut doors in?
Cut doors in?
Yeah. Can we make a four-door first gen?
Oh. Probably. I mean, the B pillar is right there. They'd be tiny doors, but I'm sure we could do it.
That'd be interesting.
That would be... I'd be down to...
That'd be
go
crazy.
Up with that and look at that. Dude, I'm down. Okay, well, I've just settled it. We're going to keep the... we're keeping the first-gen 4Runner, and we're going to see if we can find a way to turn it into a four-door body.
That'd be interesting.
That would be... I mean, even if it's just like a with little...
fiberglass.
A little door hole.
What if
it was a door hole like a foot and a half, 2 feet long? That would even still work for me just fine. Because
door hole.
You're slow on the uptake here,
sorry.
Buddy.
Sorry. What if there are there different campers, different shells you can get for that? Can you get like shells that have windows that open up instead of slide back and forth?
So not like you that can I know of.
Like Truck Norris's new camper shell that had the whole side completely opens?
Not that I know of. I've never seen any for the the 4Runners, which are the second gen pickups, first gen 4Runner, second gen pickup, same body style. I've never seen ones like that.
Yeah.
But that's not to mean they're not there. I'm sure I could have one custom made, but how much money would that cost?
More than a third gen.
Yeah, more than a third gen. And, you know, and still I could run a bikini top.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to make sure I unpack the rig after wheeling trips.
What color?
A bikini top?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite color bikini?
Red?
Red? Red bikini. It'll match my hypothetical red synthetic line that I don't have. Anyways, cry. So yeah, no, I like that idea of seeing if we can add doors into the body. Because especially, I don't have speakers there right now anymore. There's no more speakers there. The only
speakers
thing,
in the doors?
The only, well, yeah, we could put them back in. But like, the only thing that's right there in that section of the body is the seat belts. So, and I don't have rear seats. So like, I can just pull those. There's no use in having seat belts in there.
Right, but would you want rear seats?
I don't think
so. Are you going to want rear seats? Is somebody going to want rear seats?
Like a little Tyler, a little mini Tyler.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
I mean, it's 2 years away at minimum.
Is it not kosher to strap a car seat to a roll cage on the outside?
I don't know. I've seen crazy things out on the Rubicon.
I have a receiver hitch. Can we just create a car seat receiver hitch? Put it back there.
Just put it on the hood.
Oh, man. New hood ornament.
Yeah.
The flying lady of a flying baby.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All bad ideas.
You guys can send all your complaints to jimmy@snailtrail44.com. Email right over that way. So
I'll forward them back to Tyler.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
That's another story. We're not even sure if we'll be able to make little Tylers.
Sure. Right, but I'm just
so.
It is somewhat in the game plan of future life.
Could be, and I think if it got to that point, then I could weld. Or create a little seat bracket back there for a car seat, and I think it would work just fine, because we also have to have space for the dog.
Right, or you get a third-gen 4Runner.
Or I can get a third-gen 4Runner and put all my crap under it. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to... I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Maybe I can hold off on the third-gen 4Runner. We can put doors in the first-gen for now.
It's a crazy idea.
It is a crazy idea.
Maybe
like
we
it.
Can snag like a used half door off of one of those, like a second gen Tacoma with the access cab door.
Oh, uh-huh.
Or
put an access cab in?
Or one of those Tundras that have that access cab little rear
the
hatch
suicide
door.
Suicide
swinging door.
Okay.
And maybe we could figure out a way to put that in place, like cut the hole out and then put a door in that it's a suicide one in the back.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll paint it brownish, white-ish color to match your tanny white, a tanny white hole color.
My seven shades of white to 4Runner.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be interesting. I want to look into that, see if that'd be something that we can make happen. So anyways,
Instagram search.
If you guys have seen anything out there of first gen 4Runner being converted to four doors, send it to us. Because we would love to see that and see how it's done. And talk to the whoever did it.
I know people bobbed their first gen 4Runners. And then they cut the fiberglass rear hatch too, or the top part, so it matches the length. So you don't have like
you cut up at the 10 windows,
inches of shell extension. You know, I've never seen a 4-door first gen.
I don't think I have either. And
but it doesn't mean we can't be the first.
I mean, that would be hard to create with the fiberglass top as well. It would have to be like the body would have to be the door, and it would have to latch up and seal with the top. And I don't think we'd be able to get the top to go as well.
I don't know. That or you maybe have just like a like one of those zip up. We cut a section out of the top, and it's like a Jeep door, and it has like this little zip thing,
little zip soft window.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
And then goes our, you know, now people unzip the soft top so they can get into your 4Runner just so they can steal all your stuff.
That would work too. You know, it'd make it easier. I don't have to worry about losing the rig this time then.
And they wouldn't break any glass.
That's true.
Which they didn't do this time because they went through your driver unlocked door.
I don't want to talk about that episode.
Too early?
I don't want to I don't want to talk about that one anymore. I'm done. I'm done. I gave my sob story. I'm done being sobby. And, yeah, that's it. So, anyways. So, what should I do?
You should get a third gen.
A third gen? Do I build it or do I throw all my stuff under it?
I would put your transmission and T cases and axles under it to start. If you could spare the time and the money, I would put your transmission and your T cases under it and go full widths.
Okay, because I do have possibly a 14 bolt that has been offered to me, to us technically for the Snail Trail 4x4. And I'm pretty sure because of how built up my axles are, I can get at least $1,200 for my axles.
I think so.
For each one, I think. I think package deal, you're looking about $2,000 for both of them.
Dang. Okay.
Just because of everything that's on it, I would sell it with the high steer and everything too. So
right.
And the hydro. I don't know if I'd sell the hydro assist. But anyways. So I think I get a
You might have to, depending on the length of the axles you get, because it might not throw enough.
That's true. So I can get a pretty penny, I think, for my axles that are currently under there. And if I can get a really inexpensive 14 bolt, full float 14 bolt, then that would leave me with enough money left over to get a Rough Stuff custom 9-inch housing. And I know a good buddy for the front. And I know a good buddy who has a 9-inch ARB, just two of them, sitting in his shed in Minnesota. And that he's like, I'm not going to probably use these. I might use them on a Pathfinder soon or later. But he's like, I would let them go for what I bought them for, which is was a pretty good price because they had to deal with ARB at the time. So I'm kind of like, I can get an ARB locker, 9-inch, a 9-inch custom housing. I would just have to now get chromoly axle shafts and the third for it, and it be in business on the front end, and then get gears and an ARB for the 14 bolt.
And you know, if you started doing all that, if you got a third gen 4Runner, you got the axles, we put them underneath, right? We started building this. You could still be wheeling your other rig until we want to move the drivetrain over.
That is true. If I get the 14 bolt and the Rough Stuff housing, and get that all set up,
get a rolling chassis, and then all of a sudden, okay, we need to move your drivetrain over, and we need to build you new drive shafts, and then you're up and running on that one.
Yeah,
and your delay time wouldn't be significant. If you want a shorter route, we would need to move your axles over.
Yeah.
If you go to full widths, I would suggest to do minimum 63s in the rear.
Yep.
And a 4-link, 3-link up front.
Yeah.
One of them.
I would probably do a 3-link up front, maybe 4-link. I don't know.
It's hard because you got the drive shaft and the oil pan.
Yep.
So you got to, you need to figure it out.
Yeah.
If you're doing something custom, I know, I bet you Rough Stuff or WFO.
Both of those guys would have a lot
or
of
have the knowledge on how to do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They'll have the knowledge. They might have a kit.
Yeah. Well, there's a guy I found online who does 4-link kits for first gen 4Runners.
Nice.
Yeah. And I was like, I almost went that route instead of redoing my leaf springs. And I was like, it's just too soon. I don't have enough time to look into this. I need the leaf springs now kind of thing. I need the suspension redone now. So I was looking at him and he has those actually set up for a ton of different axles all set ready to go.
Okay.
So I don't know if he would have one set up for a custom 9-inch from Rough Stuff, a housing, but he would definitely have the knowledge about
it. Well,
our buddy Chai would have the knowledge about it as well. He actually, did you see his update on the truck?
No.
It's on all fours, on the coils, and it's like, it's almost ready to go out. It's pretty badass.
Awesome. Yeah. I bet he's itching.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Normally, I see that guy on the trail every time I go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, how are you out here every time I go?
Yeah.
And the answer is, he's always out there.
Pretty much, yeah. So, so it's that's an interesting option. Do like a 3 or 4 link on the front with some, 14-inch coilovers or something. So,
you'd have to keep it narrow enough to go through the Barrett entrance, though.
That's easy. Since they moved the box.
Oh, did they?
They moved the box to the other side of the fence, so it added an extra, 4 inches of clearance on there.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't have to worry about the box digging into your tires anymore as you're going through the gate.
Nice.
So, I want to say the entry into Barrett now, it went from, 82, 83 inches because the box was on the inside of this post to 87, 88 inches now.
Oh, cool.
So,
and speaking of Barrett.
Yes.
It's open.
That makes me sad. I mean, it makes me really happy that it's open.
You can go.
That is true. But I can't go by myself.
Well, if you have friends.
If I had friends, that's a good point. No.
How many clubs do you belong to?
That's true. I am a little bit of a club whore. No, my goal was...
3?
2. The third one is not really a club. It's just a big
2.5
community. Okay. Yeah. So anyways, my original plan was as soon as Barrett Lake opened, I was going to be up there that day or the next day. I didn't care who went with me. If I was going to go by myself, I was going by myself. Because I love that trail.
Right.
And if it was a weekday, it would work even better. And it officially opened. We're recording on a Tuesday.
Yep.
It opened yesterday. So you guys are going to hear this on Monday. So it has been open for a week.
Yeah.
Now that you guys are hearing this through your ear holes and watching it through your eye holes, the Barrett Lake Trail hole has been open for a week officially. So,
Don't fall in.
Don't fall in the Barrett Lake Trail hole. It's a disaster. So, anyways, I don't know if there's much else to say. I'm curious what other people think, if other people have options. I know there's a lot of really smart people out there that have some really awesome ideas that are listeners of the podcast and on the YouTube channel. So if you guys have any other ideas, shoot them my way. I've also toyed around with doing something just crazy weird and just crazy that nobody else would really think of doing. Kind of like we saw Harry Wagner's geo tracker on Instagram. And that thing's badass.
Yeah.
I was like, I could, do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Buy a mail truck for $200 and build a mail truck up. That'd be fun. No?
How about a Prius?
that thought had occurred to me as well, just to piss everybody off in the off-roading community.
Let's
see a Prius coming through on the 40s.
Just body swap.
The Prius onto the
first gen
chassis.
4Runner. You'll get a 4-door.
That's true. I'll get a 4-door. I'm down. Let's do it. We can even build a camper or a truck bed off the back of it too.
We could turn it into a truggy thing.
It's a I don't know how they would say that.
I don't know.
So,
Priuggy.
An off-roading Prius on 40s might be seen on the Rubicon in the next few months.
I like that idea.
You like that idea?
We could do like this funky external cage, but then have this like truck bed-ish cage thing that we could just build it like fun. A roll-out little toolbox thing in.
Yeah. We'll have to look into that. See if we can find some Priuses for...
What do you guys want to see us build?
Yeah, what do you guys want to see us build?
I'm curious.
I have an awesome bulletproof drivetrain that we can throw under almost anything at this point. So, opportunity. Hashtag opportunities. So, that's it for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys have some ideas coming into your head holes. And... let us know what those ideas are. If there's something that we didn't think of, something that you just liked way far more than every other option that we talked about today, let us know. Because I'm kind of curious too. I'm kind of open to ideas. I'm kind of like, it's a blank slate. I can wheel with it right now. It's just super boring inside. So
he really likes his music.
I do. I love music on the trail, and it's as our friend over at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, Jason, would say, the 4Runner thumps or thumped.
Yeah,
it used to.
It thumped.
It thumped.
It's thumped its last thump.
It is not thumping anymore.
No. How did you go? How do you deal with the ham radio coming through and your thump in stereo?
Pretty much, if I. I'm listening to the stereo. I can't hear the ham radio.
Okay.
So I just kind of
is there a the way to make it when some radio signal comes through, it cuts, drops the, or when a ham radio signal comes through, it drops the radio?
You would have to set up essentially an audio duplexer input into the stereo or into the speakers, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have the stereo going into one side of the box, the ham radio going to the other side of the box, and the audio output would then go to all the speakers or the amplifier or something.
Right.
And you'd have your volume controls on that, and you would have to have an automated thing where if an electrical signal comes in or the resistance or the voltage comes in from the ham radio, it would have to have a microcontroller to kill the volume on the stereo input, but it can be done. I know that's essentially rugged radios, and there's another intercom system that I was talking to for a little bit, and their intercoms can work like that. They can hook up to your stereo, and they have a trigger internal to it to say that if a radio signal comes through, it brings down the volume of your stereo, or if you're transmitting, it also brings down the volume of your stereo. So
nice.
Yeah. Really cool system. Really cool setup. So, yeah, let us know what you guys think of options for the 4Runner.
Yeah, you can write us at Jimmy@SnailTrail4x4 or Tyler@SnailTrail4x4 4x4 there on the end.
We lost our screen again.
Oh, did we?
Da, 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 da. There it is.
Other ways to reach us are YouTube at... YouTube.com/SnailTrail4x4. If you want to get into the Patreon account, you can do that. You just go over to the website and there's a Patreon link, or you can go to Patreon/SnailTrail4x4, Patreon.com/SnailTrail4x4. You can find us on Instagram, SnailTrail4x4 for me, or 4x4 Toyota Tyler to find that guy. And there's our Facebook page. There's a Facebook community group. If you are a patron, you can talk to us directly there.
I think there's one more.
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Google Plus.
I'm on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn. Is on LinkedIn. which one did I miss?
I think it was just the website.
The website.
So,
yep. You can go to the website. Which has the podcast, the YouTube, the Patreon, and blogs that we write.
Yep. Blogs that Jimmy writes.
It's all central.
I don't write anymore.
We should just promote the website because you can do everything.
That's right.
There.
Just go to snailtrail4x4.com and you can get kind of whooshed off to everywhere.
We don't have to say so many things. Go to snailtrail4x4.com or find us on Instagram.
Yep. So with that, my friends and all of our listeners and audience people out there, Jimmy, Do you have any sage words of advice for all of our peeps?
Third general.
It was not my friend. Keep crawling. Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, then an off-course... Let me start over.
Off-course.
Off-course. And if you like going off-course, too...